The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
John chapter 10. I love the Word of God. I've never, ever gotten tired of it. Don't think I ever will. John chapter 10, verse 10. It's a pretty famous passage of Scripture, but I want you to put your eyes on it. Jesus was speaking to the people about his role as a shepherd of the sheep, and they just totally didn't get it. And in that course, that discourse, he said this. He said, the thief comes. He goes, he called all the people that had come before him and all the ways of trying to get to God. He referred to that like a thief. But we know that when it says thief here, if you read it in context, it's talking about those false teachers and stuff that were prevalent in his day. But it's also talking about the spirit behind that. So when I read the thief comes, I literally just let the devil. It may not always be the devil showing up in horns and hooves with a pitchfork. I've never seen the devil. Hope I never do see the devil. That would probably scare me bad. And then I'd realize who he was, and I'd rise up with Christ in me and scare him bad. Come on. Greater is he who's in me. You know, he's not going to show up like that. You're going to always know when he's trying to pull his shenanigans, if you want to put it that way. I have a saying, I am pretty country still. You can take the boy out of the country, but it's hard to get the country out of the boy. When I start sensing that there's something going on in the spirit that's not good, Sharon's heard me say this 1,000 times, there's a skunk in a hen house. I can't smell the skunk in a hen house, but I can tell by the way the chickens are acting, there must be something wrong. Anytime that the enemy is at work, there's going to be evidence of it. Jesus said, the thief comes. What's the next word? Only. He never, ever, ever comes for any other reason than at least one, if not all, of these three things that Jesus mentions. And I'm going to submit to you that these are not really three things. It's three phases of the same thing. Jesus said the thief comes only. One explicit purpose. What's the first one? It's not kill. It's steal, isn't it? You look at it with your eyes. Now, how many of you ever heard somebody, maybe you've done it, I've done it many times, misquote this verse? He said, well, I don't even quote verses. Well, you hang in there, you'll get there. I've misquoted this verse many times. I said, well, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. It's not what it says. It's not at all what it says. So I believe it's a progressive thing, and it's like three aspects of the same thing. It's about him destroying or killing or stealing what God wants to do in your life. Jesus said the thief only comes to do this, steal, kill, and destroy. I submit to you that before he can kill, he first got to steal. And he steals and kills in order to bring destruction. My point that I want to make today is simply this. Anytime the thief is at work, there's going to be evidence of it. But that's not really even the part of the verse that we ought to really focus on. I mean, I just spent a few minutes focusing on it. But here's the part that makes this whole verse notable. It's not what the thief comes to do that really matters. Because he's not in charge. The Bible says Jesus was manifested or appeared to destroy the works of the devil. How many know Jesus never failed? If he came for the express purpose to destroy the works of the devil, then the devil's works are destroyed. You say, well, then how come all this stuff's going on? Because the victory is not being enforced. Jesus said the thief comes only, steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life. They might have what? Life. The Greek word is zoe, Z-O-E with a little hyphen over it. And it literally means this. It says that it may have life as God intended it before sin entered the world. How many of you know that Adam and Eve in the garden before sin entered the world, they had a pretty good gig going. There was literally no sickness, no disease, no nothing. They would have lived forever. It was perfect. It was wonderful. Sin entered the world and all the bad stuff came. Every bad thing that you can think of is a direct result or a fruit of sin. Well, what's sin? It's rebellion to God. Simple as that. So is this a sin? Well, can you invite Jesus to do it with you and do it with a clear conscience and a clean heart? I don't know. Well, then you shouldn't do it. Now, I don't have to tell everybody what to do. It wouldn't matter anyway because I can tell people what to do and what not to do all day long. And guess what they do? Whatever they want. If you don't know that, you've obviously never been a parent, or you've never been a kid. So Jesus said the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's the part I want to focus on. But I have come that they may have life, have Zoe, and have it to the full. In other words, everything God wants you to have, you can have it because of Jesus. The thief can come to steal, kill, and destroy all he wants to. But if you learn and know who you are in Christ and what God has done for you through covenant, you can constantly, constantly keep the devil where he belongs. That's under your feet. Amen? Amen. Come on, you believe it? Say a good amen.
Amen.
So, I want you to think about something that just happened. It was June 24th. The Supreme Court of the United States made a decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, which was a case that was heard in 1973 that it didn't just legalize abortion. It literally, what it did was it took all the power away from the states to regulate whether, you know, as states, we are the United States of America. We are one nation under God, indivisible. We speak that by faith nowadays, with liberty and justice for all. But that's the truth. But we are the United States. Well, they made a decision to take the power away from the states. The states elect representatives that are supposed to reflect the will of the people. And in the will of the people at that time in 37 states in the United States was, we believe that life begins in the womb and that the sanctity of life is important, and we don't believe that abortion ought to be legal at all. And the Supreme Court said, well, we think it should be. And that was it, 1973. The Constitution doesn't say anything at all about some person's right, no matter what label they call it. They can call it medical treatment. They can call it preventive care. It doesn't matter what they call it. We all know what it is. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Now, in 1973, the medical technology was not what it is now. You couldn't look at a four-dimensional ultrasound. You couldn't see a baby smile. You couldn't see a baby laugh. They didn't know, or they didn't care to know, that babies could feel pain in the womb of their mother. They didn't understand that the heartbeat started. But I'm like, that's inexcusable anyway. You want to know why? Because I can read. And in Psalms 139, he said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knit you together with my very own hands. You, I knit you, not it, you. So it's totally inexcusable. You say, well, how did they come to this ruling where they decided that they were going to cram down the throats of most Americans, they were going to cram it down our throats, that they were going to force abortion to be part of the state laws, like here in Oklahoma? I'm glad I live in Oklahoma. I'm glad that when Roe versus Wade was turned over, instantaneously there were trigger laws in place where abortion became illegal in Oklahoma. I'm thankful for that. There are alternatives. I understand that sometimes people become pregnant when they didn't realize, didn't want to, you know, whatever, and they don't know what they're going to do. But there's a lot of help for that. Amen? There are so many better ways than to take the life of your own child and then have to deal with the regret of it. And I don't condemn anyone. Listen, there was a time in my life when if Sharon would have got pregnant, I would have probably said, hey, let's just get an abortion. I didn't realize. I didn't even see babies as babies until I could see them as a baby, you know? I didn't think about it. I didn't stop and think about it. But here's another thing. Nobody ever taught me about it. Nobody ever taught me about it. My parents, their generation, they couldn't even dream and conceive of such a thing as abortion, you know, whatever. That's crazy. But my generation, I come up in the school system, you know, when I first started school, you could pray in school. But then this woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare, she went and got who else but the Supreme Court, get prayer kicked out of school. I'm going to tell you the truth. They never got prayer kicked out of school. They might have stopped the teachers from praying for a while. How many of you know that? That got dealt with too. Once again, by the Supreme Court. Elections do have consequences. But God will work His plan. It may take a while, but I believe that it's on June 24th. I really believe this. I believe America, we have had that culture of death hanging over us for almost 50 years. And I really believe this with all my heart, that was a shift. It's like, you know what, if we don't correct this pretty soon, you can read anything you want in the Bible. Innocent blood never goes unpunished. And there are a lot of things that have affected our nation that I believe have been a direct result of inviting the curse upon our nation because of the things that we've done, the things that we've sanctioned. Or we say, well, I never sanctioned that. I never sanctioned this. I never said it was good or right or anything else. But by not standing up and saying it's not right, let me teach you something real quick. They said, well, I ain't going to go vote. I don't think my vote even counts. Your vote just did. Because if you're a God-fearing, God-loving person and you don't cast your ballot, that means that that person who doesn't love God, who doesn't fear God, who doesn't know the Bible, they don't know. They just form their opinions from Oprah or something. I don't know. But, you know, if you don't cast your ballot, theirs counts double. So by not voting, you voted. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, I didn't come to church to hear about all that. Well, if you'd have been hearing about it all along, we wouldn't be dealing with this garbage. If pastors stand up in the pulpit and talk about the things that people needed to hear, we wouldn't be having all this stuff. Pride Month would mean something completely different than what it means now. It'd be like, I'm proud to be an American. You know, that's what it would be about. It wouldn't be about nothing else. But because we were silent, you know, hallelujah. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anytime he's involved, that's what you're going to see. So why do people with Antifa do what they do? Because the prince of the power of the air pushes their buttons. They steal, kill, and destroy. I never understood this. Well, I'm protesting against this injustice. I agree there are a lot of injustice in this world. I agree there are a lot of things that need to get corrected because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we could have life. Now we have to keep choosing it. Jesus did not come to force everyone to have life. Jesus came to offer everyone life. Amen? But some people don't choose that. And when they don't, you can see the evidence of it. You know, I never understood. So, well, we had this really bad decision, and I'll just put it straight up. These police officers got away with murder. And we're just going to go, what are we going to do in response to that? Well, we're going to go break all the windows out of a business. What's the first thing they do? Steal all the TVs. Shop owner shows up, try to defend his property. What do they do to him? Kill him. And then they set the building on fire and destroy it. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal. What did we see summer before that? Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. So who's behind all that? Well, not pretty obvious. But thank God, Jesus came that we can have life. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to become more and more and more contagious with the life of Jesus. This is not a time where the church we can just tuck into our little hole, be quiet, keep our heads down, and hope Jesus comes and gets us out of here. Because there is not one place in this Bible that says the world is going to get better. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, it loses its purpose. Didn't I say that nicely? Wasn't that nice? In the King James Version Bible, he goes, salt that loses saltiness is fit for nothing but to be thrown in a dung heap. Whoa, you think I'm tough. Jesus is tough. But he's also love. You know why I'm sharing this? Because I love people. And I love God. And I want to see God's will be done on earth. And if to people we don't talk about these things, they never get talked about. The devil's a pro-death devil. And Jesus is a pro-life God. He's pro-life. He's for you. The word pro just means for. He's for you. Well, how do we change it? Pastor, you shared a lot of stuff. Certainly is true, but man, don't dismiss us right now because I ain't going to bum me out. Turn to Luke 11. Don't ever worry about the problem. Did you know that without Goliath, you wouldn't know who David was? The things that we conquer that prove we are the champions that God created us to be. Amen. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to do something I don't do very often. I want him to show us this in the King James Version Bible. And then we're also going to read it from the Passion Translation. It came to pass that as he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm going to tell you something about these disciples. They've heard prayers their entire life. They could recite to you passages of Scripture. Not a single Jewish boy ever grew up that didn't memorize prayers, memorize Scriptures. They would start teaching them from the time they were little. But the prayers that they knew to them, apparently, they were inadequate. No, I can pray but feel like I didn't pray. But you know, when we pray, we want to have prayers that are effective.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
The book of James, hold your place here, but show us James 5:13, I think it is. Y'all just hold your place because we're coming right back here. Is there any among you afflicted? What are you supposed to do when stuff's coming at you? Pray. Let him pray. Let him call the pastor to pray over him? No. Let you pray. Your prayers have the potential to be as powerful and effective as Billy Graham or Roberts, anyone you respect, I don't care who it is. Your prayers have the potential, let me say it this way, your prayers have the potential to be just as powerful as Jesus' prayers. Jesus didn't have equipment that he didn't give you, but you have to know about it. And you have to gain some wisdom and some understanding of how it actually works. Keep going with that passage, if you would. Let him pray. Any of you sick, you should call the elders' church, pray with him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will, where's this from? The Bible. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he sinned, to be forgiven. That's a bonus no doctor could ever give you. Come on. Next verse. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so you may be healed. It's talking about offense. Here's the part I want to get to. For the prayer of a righteous human, how many of you in here are men? Human. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful. And what else? Effective. What does that mean? Let me break it right down. It works. It gets results. That's how it's always supposed to work. You ever pray, Lord, help me find something? All the time. Sharon taught me more than anyone else how to do that. We lose a car because she loses stuff all the time. She's an expert finder because she's an expert loser of things. Oh, golly, I almost went to the doghouse for a week. But she taught me about, you know, God knows. Surely God knows where your car keys are. But you've got to get past your frustration and your impatience to be able to hear him. That was for me. And then you've also got to get past, do you know the Bible says don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways, that means when you're trying to find something, trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. So I got to get past my own thinking. I know I laid them keys right there. Well, maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe you did lay them there, but someone else used them since then. You're unaware. I don't know, but God does know. So we can pray. Here's what I've wondered about. I almost never pray about finding something that I don't find it. This is dumb, but it's really the truth. It's always in the last place I look. Somebody said that one time. I go, of course it is. Why would you keep looking when you found it? What I'm getting at is this. It's not ever in the first place I look, or very rarely ever. But you'll be looking and you're looking and you're frustrated. You've prayed about it. And then all of a sudden, maybe you just go, oh, whatever. Okay. I'm just leaving it in the Lord's hands. He knows. You're like, you get a picture. Maybe you get a picture. You see, like, the other day I was looking for something, and it's like, man, I looked everywhere. And I was like, I wouldn't put it somewhere careless. And, man, I was frustrated. I'll be honest, I was frustrated. I prayed, and it was 5 minutes of looking here, there, and everywhere. I even had a little flashlight like I was on CSI or something. I said, like, the lights are all on. It's daylight in the house, but I'm using the flashlight. So, I'm looking with a fine-tooth comb. How many know I'm leaning on my own understanding? And then when I give up, I'm frustrated, but I gave up. I didn't get ugly. I said, whatever, forget it. I don't even need it right now anyway. God knows where it's at. God knows where it's at. I got quiet and still, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that middle bedroom up on the shelf in the closet. I did not remember putting it there. I didn't say that I remembered that I put it there. It didn't happen like that at all. I did not remember putting it there. If I did, I would have just went and got it. You ever have somebody like this? You go, I can't find my keys. They go, where'd you have them last? I'm like, if I knew that, I'd go get them. Where'd you put it? I don't know. But God does know, and prayer can be something as so simple as finding your keys. If you will start using your faith in the simple things, in the little things, and learn how to hear God, it can affect big things where it really matters. But sometimes, listen to me, the little things sometimes are the big things. Being willing to pray with someone, don't ever be afraid that God won't answer you. What do I would pray with them, but what if nothing happens? You ready? What if something did? I'll tell you what, if nothing happened, they might think, they're weird. Big deal. Who cares? They probably already think you're weird. But what if you pray over them and God does a miracle? Just because you gave them an opportunity to, because you weren't intimidated about prayer. He gets all the glory and they get to know who he is. We can't be afraid to pray. How come the thief gets so much liberty to steal, kill, and destroy? And one of the big answers is because the church don't pray with expectation. So Jesus' disciples, back to our passage in Luke 11, and I'll wrap up, I think. Sometimes it takes me a while to wrap stuff. Luke 11, King James Version. It came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus was praying, the disciples came to him, one of them said, Lord, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. Teach us to pray. And as I said before, they had heard prayers. What they were really saying was, teach us how to pray that works. It's not just a religious exercise, but teach us how to pray. Now, let me teach you something about Jewish culture. Maybe you've seen this. When they referred to God, first of all, they never called him God, because that didn't happen until a long time later, about the time of Martin Luther, when the German people first used that word. But they started calling Jehovah, El Shaddai, one of his Old Testament names, whatever, God Almighty. They started calling him God. The Jews never called God, God. And here's to something else. They were so reverent of Jehovah God, Yahweh, that they wouldn't even say his name. They wouldn't even write it with all the letters in it. So they would write YHWH. They wouldn't even write it out, and they wouldn't even say it. Because they thought this. Here's what they thought. They said, God is so holy, and my lips are so unholy, that I dare not even say his name. That was their culture. Nobody even said God's name. I guarantee you, they didn't say God's name. You know, so don't take my name in vain. Well, I won't even take your name at all. That's kind of how they operated. God said, don't go out that door. They said, oh, don't go within 25 feet of that door. Because that's how they were. So when these disciples, these Jewish boys had grown up with all that religiosity, and they said, well, obviously, there's prayer that we don't know nothing about. And they said, Lord, we see you praying. Obviously, Jesus' prayer life was different than every other prayer life they'd ever seen. One thing got results. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I want to show you something really. This is so powerful, I pray you get it. You know it. It's called the Lord's Prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said this. When you pray, say, Abba. That's their word for Father. When he said that, I guarantee you they went, say what? You know? Jesus said, no, you call him your Father. You want to know how to pray effectively? You start out by leaning heavily on the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his son so you could become his child. And you lean on that. Everything you pray is based not on how good you've been this week, Some of my most powerful and effective prayers have been when I didn't really feel like I should be very powerful and effective. But I was leaning heavily on grace. It ain't about me anyway. When I pray for someone, it ain't about me. It's about them. And it really ain't even about them. It's about them knowing God as intimately as a person could know their own Abba, Daddy, Father. If we were writing the Bible today, we should call it Daddy. I never, ever once called my dad Father. Excuse me, Father. You know, it's like, I didn't come from that culture. He's my daddy. I called him Dad when I got a little older, but he was still my daddy, right? Still is my daddy. He just got a different residence. He said, when you pray, say, Abba, Daddy, Father, hallowed be thy name. I'm going to use the King James Version, and then I'm going to take you to the passage. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I like the Matthew Version, on earth as it is in heaven. How many of y'all know this prayer? Or at least, you know, pretty well know it, right? Keep going. Give us day by day, or give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive everyone that's indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'm using Luke's version because in Luke's version, and I believe it's two separate things. I don't believe Matthew recorded it wrong or Luke recorded it wrong. I believe that one day Jesus was praying and his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, and he started in with this prayer. And then I believe one day Jesus was giving a sermon on the mount, and Matthew heard it and recorded the same prayer almost word for word, but not quite. I like the Matthew because deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And it sounds really cool. He's like, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, you can sound really religious saying that prayer, but what does it mean? What it's about? Who cares if you can quote it in King James or Portuguese? I couldn't care less. What I care about is results. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They already knew how to pray religious, remembered prayers. They wanted something that was rubber meets the road. And Jesus goes, well, first of all, start out by calling Yahweh your Abba. Listen to this from the Passion, verse 1. One day as Jesus was in prayer, one of the disciples came over, and when he finished, said, would you teach us to pray a model prayer that we can pray like John did for his disciples? And Jesus taught them this prayer. Our Heavenly Father, footnote says Abba, may the glory of your name be the center upon which our life turns. May the glory of your name be the center upon which our life turns. May the Holy Spirit come and cleanse us and manifest your kingdom on earth. If my life revolves around Jesus, when I'm praying, God, bring your kingdom to bear here on earth, he goes, that's what I put you here for. I created you, knit you together in the womb of your mother for that very purpose, that people could see me through you.
Thank you for joining us today on the Truth Broadcast. We invite you to join us on next week's program as Pastor Dwight continues this powerful message from God's Word. If you would like to request a free digital copy of today's teaching in its entirety, contact us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. For prayer requests, you can call or text us at 580-515-4319. You can also partner with us by sending offerings of support to Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624, or by Cash App at our hashtag Truth Broadcast.
Well, this is Pastor Dwight Shepherd, and once again, I'd like to invite you that if you're traveling here in Western Oklahoma or looking for a church home where you can grow in your relationship with Jesus, we'd like to invite you to join us here at Living Waters Church of Burns Flat. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. So on behalf of myself and the church at Living Waters and all of us here at Truth Broadcast, thanks again for tuning in. God bless you in Jesus' name.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.